Father, we come to you this morning and thank you for a beautiful, crisp November fall morning here, Lord, on this first Sunday in November. Lord, we thank you for a wonderful day yesterday with the ladies' seminar. We thank you for many folks who came, different churches represented for the first time. And we thank you, Lord, for the word of God that was taught clearly. And Lord, we pray that we, as far as we know, there were some here yesterday, Lord, that did not know Christ, have never trusted Christ personally as Savior. Lord, I pray that you'd be working in their hearts to show them their need of you. The fact that, Lord, they need to be saved. Lord, they need to be rescued from their sin. They're not going to be able to do it on their own, but through Christ and his finished work on the cross. And Lord, I pray you'll continue to build, water the seeds that were planted through the teachings yesterday. I thank you for all those that were involved in help and praying. And Lord, it was a great day in the Lord. It was a tiring day, so I thank you for a good night's rest. That extra hour was a blessing. Thank you, Lord, that we can be in the house of the Lord here today to worship you, to honor you, to serve and minister to others. We ask your blessing, Lord, both on the Sunday school hour, the morning service, the evening service. Everything, Lord, would be done well and according to your will and bring you the honor and the glory, Lord. We do have quite a few that are battling some different types of sickness, Lord, maybe watching from home this morning, maybe resting. And I pray certainly, Lord, for recovery, good health in the days ahead, Lord, we pray. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Good morning, folks. It's our blessing and honored to be and privileged to be here and have part in this ministry. Certainly my wife is grateful that Mrs. Bauer invited her to have part and be the speaker. And so we enjoyed the experience of coming here, being in this church, heard of this church, never had an opportunity to be here. But your pastor and his wife have been most gracious to us. They're easy people to like and love, and I know that you highly appreciate them. As your pastor, I'm going to ask you to take your Bible and turn to Psalm 119, and for the next few moments, we're going to look at this portion of the Word of God. As I'm sure that you're aware, that this is a chapter in the Bible that is given wholly and completely to the theme of God's Word, and it's an opportunity for us to look into the heart of this individual that was used as a human being under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to pen these words that have been a great encouragement to Christians down through the years. It is most fitting that this church, Independent Bible Church, Bible's the middle word in the name of the church, this is a Bible teaching, Bible preaching church. When you folks come to this church for a service, you're expecting to hear a message, a sermon from the pastor, and you're going to be looking for something that's going to be advantageous to your Christian life, maybe something that you're going through, some burden that you're carrying, and you're looking for the Lord to speak to you through the pastor because you believe the Bible is the Word of God. And grateful to be able to come preach in a Bible-believing church where people believe the Bible is God's Word and want to learn the content of the Word of God. And so as we look at this portion of the Word of God, 176 verses, we're going to look at through the eyes of this individual, the psalmist, and we're going to take in consideration some things that he saw as he looked at God's Word. And you probably have heard messages or series of messages out of this chapter. And no matter how many times you read it, no matter how much you study it, there's so much more that can be seen and gleaned and helped in our lives as Christians. And so we're looking at a man that believed and presented the immeasurable worth of the Word of God. And that's what we're going to look at for the next few moments, the immeasurable worth of the Word of God. And as we do that, I'm praying that God would help you as an individual, knowing the Lord and knowing and having the Bible in your hands, that you have a testimony of what the Bible means to you. If I was to ask folks to stand up, and I'm not going to do that, obviously, stand up, just tell the folks here as we've listened to the testimonies this morning, what the Bible, what the Word of God means to you. And I'm sure we'd hear a number of testimonies of what God's words meant to you through the years and the circumstances of life and the growth process of growing in the Lord. And so let's just ask the Lord to honor his word. Father, we thank you for the Bible. Thank you for this church, Independent Bible Church. Thank you for the messages that have gone forth from this pulpit and the ears that have heard the word of God from the preacher or the pastor that's stood behind this pulpit. We thank you for Pastor Boyer and his love for the word of God. Thank you that he's a Bible preaching pastor. And we thank you, Lord, that when people come to this church, they can anticipate they're going to hear a word of God that will help them and encourage them and help them in this process of growing in the Lord. And so thank you, Lord. Speak to our hearts for these next few moments. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, the psalmist has given extensive testimony of his relationship with God's word in Psalm 119. And what he learned about God's word through the circumstances of life, we do know by his statements that he had an everlasting growing love for and appreciation for the word of God. Now, for the next few moments, we're just going to look at this through the eyes of the psalmist. First of all, taking consideration the value of the word of God in his life, what it meant to him. Three different things that are obvious among many others. But the psalmist, as he reflects on the subject of the word of God, he reveals the value of the law of God. He reveals the virtue of God's word, and then he reveals the victory of God's word. And the testimony that can be seen by him and the teaching came from his lips are most valuable to us as we think about our own Christian life and our appreciation for the word of God. And so first of all, let's take in consideration as he expressed his value or the value for God's word in making comparisons between other things that would have been enjoyed or brought satisfaction to him in the day in which he lived. Psalm 119, verses 72 and verse 127 says this. It says, "The law of thy mouth is better than 1,000 of gold and silver." And then in verse 103, it says, "The word of the Lord is sweeter than honey." And then verse 160 says, the psalmist said, "I rejoice in thy word as one that findeth great spoil." He found God's word to have greater worth than all the valuables of the world. And I think probably, as we think about our own lives and our own testimony of when we come to know the Lord as our personal Savior, we can think back to the reality of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, where it says, "Desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby." And that's really the introduction that we have to the word of God. And if we have been fortunate enough to be in a Bible-believing church, and there's a class or a mentor or a discipler that takes us aside and opens up to the word of God and introduces us to those first lessons that are primary and very important for us to begin our process of growing in the Lord. And from that point on, as we learn the importance of having desire for the word of God, and that the purpose being that we would grow in the Lord, from that point on, we start taking steps of opening the word of God and reading it and learning what the Bible says, and we start taking in a volume of content. And as we look at this chapter in the Bible, we're going to see that this individual gives us loads of content about the Bible. And that's so important that as we become, know the Lord and begin to walk with the Lord, that we start taking in the content of the Word of God and learning what the Bible says. And how important it is for somebody to come alongside of us and begin to give us the lessons and the instruction of the Word of God. And so here the psalmist reveals first and foremost, he talks about the value of God's Word. And then not only in other places, but he talks about the virtue of God's Word in Psalm 119, verse 140. He says, "Thy Word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it." In Psalm 19, verse 7, we are reminded the Word of the Lord is perfect, and it converteth the soul. I'm thankful that we have a Bible that we can have confidence in, that it's perfectly preserved and perfectly kept, and we can say, give testimony that we hold the Word of God in our hands, and we don't have to be apprehensive as to where we open as to whether it's the Word of God. We believe the Bible is totally and completely inspired. This being a Bible-believing church, I know that has come from this pulpit, it's come from the preachers, and that's probably something you have settled in your heart, that the Word of God is inspired and it comes from the process of God giving it to the Holy Spirit to men wrote the pen, the words that we have with us today. And so the psalmist speaks of the virtue, and then he talks about the victory of God's word. There can be no doubt that this man believed. He had the very word of God in his possession, and it was the word of God that enabled him to experience victory over sin in his struggles in life. From our spiritual birth to our departure to be with the Lord, we keep growing in the knowledge of God's word and practical application to the word of God in our lives. There's three things that have to, and I believe come from the lips of this individual and the writings of this individual. There's three things that I want us to see just as we look at and take in consideration our appreciation for the Word of God and how we begin to not only accept it as being God's Word, but seeing it as it is relevant and how it works in our lives. If the Word of God is not relevant, if we cannot see how it's practical and how it has life-changing instruction, it is not of much value. There's no value in collecting the content of the Scripture if it's not going to do something to have a life-changing truth that's going to be it's going to be given to us, and it's going to come out as a reality of a changed life. So let's just look, first of all, what he learned about the importance of looking through the eyes of an individual that wanted to know the Word of God and wanted to see that the value of the Word of God. The first thing that I think that he brings out that is important, that would have to do with the supremacy of the Word of God. He held the Word of God in high esteem. In Psalm 119, verse 142, it says, "Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is truth." Psalm 119, verse 160 says, "Thy word is truth from the very beginning," or the beginning, "and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." Here's an individual that believed that God's word was supreme in its irrefutable truth. I'm glad as I open the scripture and share this with you this morning that we have a camaraderie here that you would state, because of what you believe about the Bible, that it has irrefutable truth. There is no concern as to whether all of the Bible is the truth. All of the Bible came from God. And so here we see him having he held the Word of God, and the reality was he embraced the supremacy of the Word of God. Secondly, he revealed the supreme duration of God's Word. "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever." He believed that the Word of God was supreme in time. In other words, he believed that heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of God will never pass away. Isn't it wonderful today that we have in our hands something that is going to be in existence, not only in this lifetime, and the reality of the promises and the reality of what God says state here, we're going to realize those when we're taken from this place to be in the presence of the Lord. But as we look back to earth and our experience as a Christian, we'll be able to look back and give testimony of the Word of God was supreme in duration of time, and it was supreme in the irrefutable reality of the truths that God would have us to know. The psalmist reveals the supremacy of God's word by stating the place that the word of God held in his heart. 11 times he refers to his heart. There is little value to accumulate God's word in the head. That is, if we are just accumulating God's word intellectually, and God's word is not in our heart, or we do not have a desire to obey it with our heart, there's not going to be much of a change in our lives. I think probably you can give testimony of when the word of God began to do a work in your heart. We don't give testimony of God's word doing a work in our head. We give testimony of God's word doing a work in our heart. Psalm 119, verse 10 says, "With my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from my commandments." I'm not going to read all 11 of these verses, but if you want to at another time read how this individual took the word of God, not just intellectually, but took the word of God in his heart, and he embraced the word of God with his heart. And then not only does he bring out the supremacy of the scriptures and the supremacy of the word of God, he brings out the sufficiency of God's word. He had confidence in God's word. The word sufficiency means to be competent in power and ability. And here's an individual that experienced not only the supremacy of God, but he experienced the reality of the sufficiency of God. In other words, he found the word of God to be sufficient to meet every need in his life or every issue that he's experienced in his personal life or those that are around him. And so in the word of God, he reveals the reality of in Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11, he talks here of the sufficiency of God's word in dealing with sin. He says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word? With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." And so the psalmist is telling us here that the word of God is sufficient for individuals to have in their life and their heart to deal with the sin. Aren't we thankful that the word of God reveals to us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So he finds that there is sufficiency in dealing with one sin. And then he reveals that the scriptures are sufficient to bring comfort in affliction. He said in Psalm 119, verse 67, Therefore, 119, verse 67, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. It is a good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." And then he found that there was hope in time of despair. "Thou art my hiding place, and my shield I hope in thy word." Psalm 119, verse 114. "And then I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried and hoped in thy word." Verse 147. And then he reveals there was strength in time of weakness. "Uphold me according to thy word that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. I will have respect unto thy statutes continually." And then he reveals there was this sufficiency of understanding for discernment, where he gives these words, "The entrance of thy law," or "the entrance of thy words, giveth light and giveth understanding to the simple." And then he reveals that there's triumph in time of trouble, when he states, "Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. And then he found peace in time of turmoil. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. It's a wonderful thing to find that the Word of God is sufficient to meet all of our needs and all the things that trouble us in this life. And the psalmist has revealed to us in the relevancy of life, in his everyday life, he found that the Word of God was sufficient to meet all these needs that I mentioned, and many more. And it's for us to glean and have this wonderful privilege to know that if God would do that for this individual, there's enough evidence and there's enough of the Word of God that reveals that the Word of God is sufficient, that it has the capability of meeting every need. It's wonderful when people come to our church or this church that we can take a person aside that's struggling in their personal life or their family life, and they're struggling with these things that we've mentioned, that we can open the Scriptures and reveal to them what the Bible says about those very subjects, and reveal to them what God has said as to what He can do and what He will do in a person's life. And we find that all in the Scriptures. I don't know how many people that have come to this church and found answers and solutions to their problems and to their sin and to their troubled heart by coming and sitting in this auditorium and listening to the preacher who opens the Bible and reads from a text and then gives a time of explaining and then a time of application. And that person can get up and go out of the auditorium. Maybe no one else knows it, but that individual can say, God spoke to me today, and He revealed to me today. And how many times a preacher has heard when an individual comes up after he has preached, and he may not think that the message was where it should have been or how good it should have been, and yet there's people, and I have people that have come up to me, and I felt like I just have laid a message that had no relevancy to people's lives. And then a person come up and say, Pastor, I really needed that message today. And God would remind the preacher, it's not my preaching or my capability of crafting a sermon. It has to do with taking the Word of God and preaching it, and giving instruction and explanation and being able to explain the Word of God, and then able to help a person to know how that promise can become theirs, and then know how that they can claim that promise and how they can hold on to that promise. In a week or 2 weeks or months or maybe even a year later, a person can give testimony of how God's Word has been sufficient and has helped them in a problem or a struggle, and they've got victory in it. And they do not point back to the pastor's sermon. They point back to the reality that someone pointed them to the Word of God, and they found the answer and the solution, and they claimed it, and they give testimony, as this individual could give testimony of the supremacy of God's Word and the sufficiency of God's Word. And I want to say that in most cases, most Bible-believing Christians can give a testimony of the supremacy of God's Word and give a testimony of the sufficiency of God's Word. But there's another section of this psalm that's so important and so helpful, because not only did he learn the supremacy of God's Word and the sufficiency of God's Word, but here's an individual that learned what it was to be submissive to God's Word. Here's an individual that learned and wanted to learn and wanted to experience submissiveness to God's Word. He wanted to be an obedient individual that when he heard God's Word, he wanted to respond to it appropriately and obediently. How important it is for us to learn this lesson as Christians. There's no value in an individual that gives their time to taking in volumes of content of Scripture and even memorizing Scripture and yet not taking time to realize that the things that God is teaching us and showing us, that God intends for us to live those out in flesh and to obey those things and live those things. And here's an individual that could say he believed in the supremacy of God's word and the sufficiency of God's word. But here's an individual that learned what it meant to be submissive to God's word. What an important lesson for us to learn as Christians. Not only early on. You know, we encourage individuals. Pastor brought it up just a few moments ago about individuals going to a baptism class. And how important it is for new Christians to learn what it is to know what to do next after you trust the Lord as your Savior. The very next thing a person should do, obviously, after they're introduced to what the Bible says and they've trusted Christ as their Savior, one of those very first acts that they are to participate in and be an individual that experience, it's baptism. And we direct them to the Word of God and show them what the Bible says, but there comes a time when they have to make that decision. Now, I think we have some things that we can relate to in this ministry, and certainly, as I look back in our ministry in the state of Rhode Island, we moved to Rhode Island in 1975 and started a church in a Roman Catholic city, the town of Johnston. And primarily, the area that we lived in was Italian. And so, for the most part, we were, those beginning days, we were reaching out to introduce Italian Catholics to a message of the gospel and give them indication that religion is insufficient and there's no hope for people that put their confidence and faith in religion. It has to be that they're introduced to the person of Christ and introduced to the way to have their sins forgiven. And it's not through a priest and it's not through the ordinances or the doctrine of that church, it's through the reality of what God's word says about the subject. And so we had a number of people Italian Roman Catholics come to know the Lord, and it seemed like it was a process. They had to go from accepting that the church is not sufficient for salvation, the church is not sufficient for doctrinal truth, and now it seems that my baptism is invalid. So they have to make a decision. Are they going to believe God? Are they going to believe what the Bible says about the subject? Or are they going to believe that what they're holding on to, their tradition and their religion? And until they come to the place where they're willing to see the supremacy of the Scriptures and the sufficiency of the Scriptures, they come to the place where they're willing to submit to that, there's no reality of growth in a person's life until they come and submit to the supremacy of God's Word and the sufficiency of God's word. And praise the Lord, this church has seen a number of people do that. Come to the place where they embrace the Bible as being supreme and embrace the Bible as being sufficient. And it's obvious by their obedience. It's obvious by their changed life. And praise the Lord for that. I want you to just look with me just for a few moments at what this psalmist can teach us about this subject of being compliant to God's word. There's a number of verses that give indication of his desire to be compliant to God's word. Let me just give you a few of them, and we're winding down here for the Sunday school class. But I want you just to see quickly. I want you to see five or six things here that give indication of this individual that had desire to be submissive and obey the Word of God. Maybe you remember, and I don't know if your church, you're maybe in Bible school, you've heard the song, "Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Action is the key, do it immediately. Joy you will receive." We teach children of that. We taught children of that in Bible school and Sunday school. We teach them to obey the Word of God. Obey your parents, but we teach them. And here, this individual has this helpful instruction, what it means to learn how to obey God's word. He uses the word keep 20 times and the word kept 7 times. That is, he gives indication that he does not only want to know the content of God's word, but he wants to know how to be compliant to it. He not only wants to learn what the Bible says, he wants to learn how to do what the Bible says that he is to do. And there's a number of verses of Scripture. First of all, we see his desire in Psalm 119, verse 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. We see his decision. Psalm 119, verse 8 says, I will keep thy statutes and forsake me not utterly. In Psalm 119, verse 30, we see his determination. I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. Psalm 119, verse 30, we see his determination. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. In Psalm 119, verse 101, we see his discipline. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments. And then the last thing I'll just have you look at, Psalm 119, verse 35, his delight. Make me to go in thy path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. He goes from a desire to delight. You know, there's something about this thought of this entry into God's word, that is when we're introduced, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. That's the entry point. You know, when babe, as we're to desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. And we think of the process of a baby beginning to learn to have nourishment. They partake of that which they need, but they do not understand what it's doing for them. All they want is a sensation of fullness and satisfaction. That's all they want. It seems that's all they need, and they're content, and they won't cry for another hour or 2 hours until it's time for them to eat again. That's all they know. They don't know the purpose of maturing. They don't know the purpose of growing up. All they know is I'm satisfied. And so often, when new Christians get saved and individuals get saved and they're Christians, they start taking in God's word, there's this sensation, there's this experience of satisfaction. They're learning new things. They're learning more about God. They're learning more about their life. They're learning about their nature. They're learning about the things that pertain to spiritual growth. And there's a hunger there because they're learning new things that pertain to their state, their babyhood. But we can't stay there because God does not intend for us to stay just desiring the sincere milk of the word. And we know that by what the word of God says. So God would have us go from a desire, the entry level. He would have us go to a time in which we open the Bible and we read it and we study it, and it brings great delight to our heart. I would say that the psalmist did not learn that rapidly. He learned that by the intake of God's word. He went from a time of delight, but the important thing is there's a process there. We don't come to the place where we thoroughly delight God's word by just reading or just hearing it. If there's no application, if there's no change in the life, if we're not experiencing what God's word can do and what it will do in our heart and life, if we don't experience that, then we're not going to experience what God intends for us to experience, the joy of the reality that I'm growing in grace. You see, God has a purpose. It's not just for us to eat and be satisfied. It's for us to eat and grow because he has a maturity plan for our lives as Christians. And the only one that knows that for that baby is the parent and the mother that's feeding that child. God has a purpose, a physical purpose for this baby. And I'm feeding and helping to get to the place where they'll realize that in this life there's a purpose for them to grow up and to be adults and to be an individual that has purpose in this world. And so the psalmist is teaching us what it means to keep the word of God. The word keep means to maintain, obey, observe, and perform. All of these things that he learned, the wonderful thing, they're recorded. And you can learn and I can learn what his desires were. And we can learn his decision about the decisions he made. But there's one thing I hear I just want to leave you with. It's this. There needs to be in our lives as a Christian. We can't live in the baby stage, and we can't live in the delightful stage, that every time we pick up the Bible and we read it, we're thoroughly delighted and enraptured with what God is saying to us. It's that way. In real life, we pick up the Bible out of routine. We pick up the Bible, and most of the time, it's out of diligence. It's out of having discipline to open the Bible every day and begin to read it. And knowing that God has commanded us to do that, and as we read it, we find there's a sense of satisfaction. And as we grow in the Lord, there's a greater sense of satisfaction, but there's something that enters in. There's purpose there. God intends to change my life. God intends to do something in my life, that he can do something through my life. And he reveals all of that through his word. Here you are today, a Bible-believing Christian sitting in this auditorium, and you have your Bible open before you. And many of you know the Bible, and you've read the Bible. But if God were to look down today and ask us, where are we on this scale of looking at the immeasurable worth of God in our lives, would it be that we could say, your word is supreme, your word is sufficient? But could we say, Lord, oh, how I want to keep thy word. Oh, how I want to do thy word. Oh, how I want to be what you've called me to be. And all that comes through the teaching and the preaching of God's word. What a privilege it is for us to be in a Bible-believing church where the word of God is preached systematically Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, all the other times. And how wonderful it was yesterday to see all these ladies gather here to hear the Bible and to be helped, encouraged in their Christian life. Isn't it wonderful to be able to come to God's house and open God's book and have him speak to us? May the Lord just take what we've talked, these simple things, these simple truths, and may we evaluate the Word of God as the way we look at it and how we're taking it in. And may we be people that have diligence in our life, that we might know the Word of God and do the Word of God as he intends. Father, help us in this hour. Thank you for the Word of God that reveals us the sufficiency of what you can do in our lives. But I pray that we'd have a heart not only to exalt God's Word because of its supremacy and its sufficiency, but I pray that we have a heart that wants to obey and keep the Word of God. May we find joy in seeing the Word of God become a part of our lives and our lives changed and being transformed and conformed to the image of Christ. Thank you for the preacher that you've given to this church that's faithful to the Word and opens the Bible and teaches his people. And for the Sunday school teachers and for those that have part in delivering the Word of God, thank you for them. May this church continue to be a place, a beacon of hope, beacon, a place where people can come and hear the Bible, and may it always be supreme in this church. We thank you for this church, and thank you for this opportunity to teach this morning in this good class. In Christ's name, amen.